Welcome to the Play With Confidence podcast, brought to you by Xena Sport. Xena Sport, the most advanced female impact protection designed by women for women. We know the dedication, sacrifice, and discipline required for female athletes to play and perform at the highest level. And this podcast is aimed at giving you a front row seat and an inside look at the many perspectives of women's sport, from the athletes themselves to champions across many domains. This podcast is a must for anybody who shares our one common passion: championing women's sports at all levels. So sit back and enjoy as Play With Confidence takes you on a journey through the sharpest minds with one objective: to understand what makes these champions tick. Welcome to the Play With Confidence podcast. On today's podcast, we are joined by Emily Shears, the founder of the Female Athlete Network.
Emily is a registered pharmacist with a holistic perspective. She is a postgraduate in exercise sports science, including a Master of Education. She's highly driven and passionate about the health and well-being sector. Emily has always been active in sport, had the most success with rowing and athletics. Athletics is close to my heart as well. She is very familiar with the pressures of high-performance sport environment. As a pharmacist, Emily has seen firsthand the gap in knowledge that young women have when it comes to their own bodies, not knowing what is normal and knowing what is and isn't normal, and the complexities of navigating all of this while also being an athlete. Emily has recognised the importance of education and breaking down barriers for women in sport, and it was only a matter of time before the Female Athlete Network was born.
Welcome to the podcast, Emily.
Well, thank you. That's quite the intro. Thank you, guys. It's awesome to be here. And I feel very privileged that this is your first podcast.
It is our first podcast.
So you'll have to bear
with us. I'm not the media one in this family, but anyway.
Media Street.
Yeah, that's it. Just tell us a little bit about your story.
Awesome. Well, I guess for me, the biggest part about what I'm doing now is finally acknowledging just how much sport has meant to me my entire life. I grew up in a very sporting family. I have a half brother who's been to 5 Olympics, a sister who almost made Commonwealth Games except for injury. And then there's also my own sporting pursuits. I sort of feel like in the family, I'm the biggest gunner. Like I did really well, but not quite compared to my siblings. But with that, I always felt that I was living a double life. So I'd had sport, which really kept me going. It was really my intrinsic motivator for a lot of things that I did inside and outside of sport. And then with study, I found myself doing a pharmacy degree because I was really fortunate to be accepted into Sydney University on a sports scholarship. But then, you know, fast forward several years and I just really needed to find a way to bring my worlds together, which I'd always struggled with. And the other thing, I guess, throughout my time as an athlete was not really understanding what was going on with my own health. So I did have a lot of experience with overtraining and injury and never anyone there to sort of join all those dots for me. So, yeah, that's sort of where I'm at now, is trying to help people join all those dots together.
So you are the founder of the Female Athlete Network. Can you just tell us a little bit about how that came about and what are the actual main things that you do?
Yeah, so it came about because of COVID. So like many of us, I had a bit of extra time on my hands in 2020. So I had found that, been living this double life, I'd been a pharmacist for most of my professional career, yet I'd be in a pharmacy and then these young women were coming in to get a pill prescription or a morning after pill or something like that. And I'd go to ask them questions about their own body and they simply couldn't answer the question. It was like I was speaking another language. And then I'd go to my athlete wellbeing role, which was then really passion project stuff, and it was even worse. These young women, you know, didn't understand how their bodies were working. They didn't understand how it all related to their own health and wellbeing. So there was other things in that athlete population that they didn't understand, how sleep was influencing their performance or how diet was influencing their performance. And I think what I could see from that point was that in sort of the state sporting organisations or institute environment, athletes were getting really, really good support. But in Pathways, where I was working, was there was not the support. You know, there was no one around to provide athlete wellbeing for these athletes and players. And certainly I've largely been in the football landscape. So I decided to stop living a double life and bring it all together. And I created the Female Athlete Network. The reason I focus on female athletes is because that's where I'm most passionate. That's where my most interest is. In terms of pharmacy and continuing education, we do have requirements each year that we fulfill in terms of our continued professional education. It's always been about women's health. So I just, wanted to marry it all up and created the Female Athlete Network. Initially, it was to do menstrual health education, and it's fair to say that it has exploded beyond menstrual health education. I've learned an enormous amount in the last 14 months, you know, about how women experience concussions differently, how women have different injuries when it comes to hip, knee, and foot injuries. There's just so many differences that we're just not aware of. And yeah, it's all coming through now with the providers and the professionals that I work with within the network. So the network is the professionals that I have engaged to help provide services with these athletes. So in terms of what we do is we provide education. I speak to sporting groups, sporting organisations about women's health. You know, you can't have good performance without great health. So it's really that is the basis. But then also out of that is working one-to-one with a lot of athletes who are needing a bit of advocacy. So speaking with a coach who they may not be comfortable to speak with. So if they're a swimmer with endometriosis and their coach is male, well, how do they start that conversation? And how do we make it a factual conversation with the end result being keeping that swimmer swimming? So a lot of that work is being done as well. But as I said, yeah, it's definitely extended beyond menstrual health education, and I'm learning a lot on the go, but also leveraging and leaning heavily on the professionals that I've engaged with.
I think it's fascinating the way that you've learned from your own aspects of being an athlete and what you went through as an individual and the support that wasn't sort of around through that period to what you've changed. Now, you mentioned the coaches there as an example. That's what I'm fascinated about, because a lot of male coaches, I was one in terms of, you know, coaching the kids' sport and those sort of things, being involved with, you know, my son's footy or my daughter's basketball team. But what are some of the things that you're trying to educate the coaches, in particular the male coaches, to support the athletes or the players within a team structure?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the biggest things with coaching for male coaches in the female athlete environment is that their education is just as important as the athlete education. So in terms of things that they can be learning is how male and female brains differ. So how should we actually approach our female athletes versus our male athletes? You know, we know that a lot of boys respond well to, you know, what I call the rah-rah, like the real razz up and go. But we find with a lot of female athletes, which if you've got a toddler, you'd be really familiar with, is they always want to know why. So, you know, with girls, they want to know the why. They want to know the benchmark. They want to know, well, yes, your 2K time trial time was this, but this is our benchmark. So this is why we're training like this. Mm. Whereas we find that boys will just, you know, set a task and they'll do it. So just little things like approach is different. And certainly the psychology of that around that's really, really interesting. And with a couple of psychologists that I now have engaged the network, I've learned a lot about that type of thing. But then an extension of those conversations has been around body image and things that have been topical in the last 24 hours about AFL within the NAB League dropping skin folds.
Yep.
So changing that conversation about, well, let's make it about fitness markers rather than skin folds, because we do know throughout, you know, the 4-week cycle of the menstrual cycle that body fluctuations do happen. So we want to encourage these young women to stay in sport. Mm-hmm. Then we need to look at how we can do that. So there's been lots of lessons learned. And again, it's not just for athletes, it's for coaches as well. And in terms of education for coaches, on top of learning the psychology of coaching a female athlete, it's helping them to be confident about having that conversation about menstrual health. So if they do have an athlete come to them and say, look, I do have endometriosis or I do have polycystic ovarian syndrome, then they've then got the knowledge to also confidently have that conversation about how they can support that athlete to continue to train and to get the best out of that athlete. Just because an athlete has a menstrual health disorder, which does present as a chronic disease, it shouldn't be keeping that young person out of sport.
Yeah. I know last year when we first met each other, Marinzina and the Female Athlete Network had the common interest, I suppose, in that we both, you know, discovered that there wasn't a lot of education out there in regards to specific health areas for women in sport. So I suppose when you go out and, you know, you speak to these adolescent girls or women, what are the things that they're asking you in regards to menstrual cycles or endometriosis? Or how does that affect performance and how they train?
Sure. So I think one of the biggest things that has come out is they're always very surprised that a period shouldn't be painful. And it's kind of
that's what I see. Naturally, it is.
You know, it's certainly, you know, it doesn't matter whether we're talking general population or athlete population, there is an acceptance that a period is painful. However, if a period is within the realms of healthy, then it shouldn't actually be painful. There will be discomfort because of what the body is doing. You know, the uterus is contracting. It's a working muscle. There will be discomfort, no different to, you know, running a 400 meters. That hurts. Mm-hmm. But it should be manageable and it should never keep someone from what they're trying to achieve. And that's probably the biggest thing is while I do talk a lot in my presentations about everything that makes us healthy, so sleep, diet, stress, you know, alcohol, smoking, all of that comes into play. But the menstrual cycle is one of those indicators of health. You know, it can be a barometer. So if someone's cycle isn't meeting those parameters of healthy, then we know that we need to delve deeper into what's going on underneath, that there's probably other signs and symptoms to say, hang on, something's not quite right here. And what we can then do when we look at the root cause is if we get this athlete healthier, we know in turn that their performance is going to be better. That's really important with what's happening in the female sport landscape. We want there to be success. We want these women to be successful. We want them to be as injury-free as possible and to be, you know, running faster and jumping higher. And if you look further than, you know, just beyond the next 2 years of what's happening within AFLW or soccer, you know, look ahead to Brisbane 2032. It's going to be a home Olympics. So, you know, we want everyone to be excelling and we just need them healthy to be able to do that.
And how do you find that the male coaches receive this type of information? Are they comfortable in having that conversation?
Oh, no, no.
Because I know along the way it was different depending on which club we went to. You know, some clubs, the male coaches were right in the thick of it. They were the ones asking questions and encouraging the girls to speak up. And then at other clubs, they'd step out of the room while poor Brad was there on his own and leave us to have the conversation. So is it something that you're normalizing, that they're becoming a little bit more comfortable
definitely the aim of my game.
Is it an extension that if they're not, you're finding the person within the club that the girls can obviously speak to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the advent of wellbeing roles, that has helped enormously, especially in the AFLW space where they do have the PDMs or player development managers. They've been a really good conduit for that conversation. So largely within the AFLW, those PDMs are female. So that it just creates a really good communication chain. But then in terms of that going full circle, I'm then able to have conversation with staff because that ice has been broken with the PDM. So whether that, if they have got a male club doctor, it's just, you know, an open conversation and includes, you know, sport strength and conditioning staff. It includes all their sports science staff who usually are male as well. Then in terms of another layer to that is if I go to the clubs and the players then know that I've had a conversation with those staff, then the player is then more confident having that conversation as well because they feel that they can be open, that they're going to be heard, and there is going to be a level of understanding that, you know, these staff may not have the answers, but they'll have the capacity to hear what's being said and say, well, you know, perhaps you need to speak to a gynecologist or perhaps you need to speak to a sports psych. So it's just about creating the conversation and then being able to help find the right person for that young person to get more information from.
Emily, I love your passion, the way that you're so motivated to help so many athletes around the country. What gets you up? What motivates you? What do you really enjoy about, being involved with what you do?
I think really for the first time in 18 years, I actually do really, really enjoy my job. I think that's probably one of the biggest things. And I really feel like I've found my people. Like, I feel like I'm finally in an environment where I actually thrive. So being back in sport, which for me, I probably should never have left, but, just being around those kind of people who genuinely want to help see people thrive as well. And I think, if someone had said to me when I put my application in to be a pharmacist or to start uni, if someone had actually said to me at that point at 19 years of age, look, you'll be working with sick people, I may not have ticked that box. Yeah. So I think working in this environment where the athletes genuinely want to be really, really healthy, they genuinely want to achieve, and their ability to take on feedback and change is incredibly rewarding. So you see these young women, they come to me, they have a heap of questions, we go through a whole education stream, and the outcomes and the changes that I see in those young women is incredibly rewarding. That is really what keeps me going. And to also, I guess, have the dual roles of, my female athlete network staff, but then being able to take all of those learnings to what I'm doing in the NAB League as well, I think pathway athletes are just the best to be working with. So there's a lot less pretense, once they graduate a bit, it's a very different environment.
Yeah.
Was it a hard decision to follow your passion and start the Female Athlete Network and back?
Oh, yeah.
know what that's like.
I feel like I should invite my husband to talk about that with you guys. I think taking that leap of faith to cut the cord is huge, you get so set into the routine and you know how much cash is going to hit your account every fortnight. Yeah. You know what's involved with going to work.
Yeah.
It's total security. But then you just get to a point where you realize that getting up and going to work and putting on corporate gear is not actually making you happy. I just found it really, and some people thrive in the environment of working with older people. I just didn't. I needed to be around younger people who are active and really set on achieving their goals. And I really wanted to genuinely help them. And I think once I realized that, once I started to dabble, and at that point where I had a foot in both camps, I knew where I wanted to be and where I wanted to get to. And that was, I think that's when the dream really started. I really started to accelerate where I wanted to be. I was like, hang on, no, this feels good. I want to do that. And one thing that my husband has always said to me is that only good things come from good decisions. And absolutely, I would attest to that to this day, that that's definitely one of the, reasons that the Female Athlete Network is actually here today.
And don't you feel, though, you get that feeling in your gut which just tells you, like, to keep pursuing it?
Nothing
inside that tells you it's worth it, just keep pushing.
Absolutely. Like, I'm surprised every day with how far the Female Athlete Network has not only has grown, but in terms of who it's actually reaching. I've had now inquiries from the US. I'm doing an education stream with a pre-collegiate soccer group. So it's just, my expectations have been absolutely exceeded. And in talking through contractual obligations with this US group, and I said, online saying, surely there's someone in the US who can do this for you. I would like to have the contract by all means, but surely there's someone who can do this, because part of what I do is connect into medical practitioners. I said, no, there's not. We want you. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do it. just that realization that this, it's really, really needed, and it's completely exploded. It's rewarding.
You're making a difference in all these young, women's lives. That sort of is reward in itself.
Yeah, I just get a buzz from it every day. I've never had that with any job that I've had, really.
Yeah,
so it's a really nice change.
Now, we're really excited because you've got an event coming up on December the 12th, the Female Athlete Network event. Can you tell us a little bit about this event and what's going to be happening throughout the day?
Sure. Well, I'll actually tell you the backstory to the event as well. So I met with a business coach probably 2 months after I'd started the Female Athlete Network, and I was really, really overwhelmed at that stage. So I went to see this person wanting a bit of help with strategy because I was already overwhelmed 2 months in. There'd been that much interest. And she said to me, oh, you need to do an event. And my response at the time was, there is no way in hell I'm doing an event. I don't do events, let alone in a global pandemic. Well, I'm doing an event, yeah. December 12. And what I guess became to realize after, you know, this very wise person telling me you should do an event was that I wasn't accessing everyone that I wanted to access just yet, but by bringing everyone together into one room, then we could do that. And while it won't be, you know, you won't get one-on-one time with everyone there on the day, it is going to be a showcase of the services that are available for female athletes. And that's never been done before. Certainly there's a couple of conferences that do happen overseas. One is, you know, based out of Harvard, but there's never really been anything done here. And I think that's really, really important, especially with the way Geelong is. Geelong has produced some exceptional sports stars, and our accessibility to Melbourne, I don't know that many are really aware that we have some extraordinary services available in Geelong. And I think that's probably one of the really key aspects, but also all the really clever people in this space doing wonderful things. So the likes of obviously yourself, Donna, with the Xena Vest, but then we also have Lauren and Luke, you know, from PhysioPod, who do very specialist consults on female hip, knee and foot injuries. And then we've got the likes of Ida Sports, which is all about the female soccer boot. So I think just bringing to the people what is available was what I wanted to do, and also to provide education in that space and all evidence-based. Obviously, we've got Samantha Hoffman there, who was part of the design team on the Xena Vest. Mm-hmm. Dara McGuinness, who's worked very heavily in strength and conditioning space with Melbourne Boomers, you know, Dr. Dom Kondo. So, there's heaps of professionals. Yeah, just bringing all the science as well as the support services to the people who need them the most.
So, Emily, how can everyone out there get tickets to this event?
Jump on the Female Athlete Network website, and then there is an events page, and just follow the prompts through the Eventbrite. It's all there. Really encourage you to buy tickets. It's going to be fantastic. We've got some awesome sponsors, really good gift bags happening, which is very exciting. We'll be making sure I get one myself. So I know it's shaping up to be a fantastic day. You know, what started as a 10 till 4 p.m. event on a Sunday is now 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. There's been so much interest, which is just awesome. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be a full day, and who knows what will happen in subsequent years.
Yeah, well, we're definitely excited to be part of the day, and really looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say and seeing some great products. So it'd be great to get you back on for another podcast down the track, just to cover some of the topics that you went through today, you know, just for all female listeners out there who may have questions or queries and may not be able to have the confidence at the moment to speak up.
That's it. And some of the clubs and coaches questions as well, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'd love that. That would be awesome.
Great. So thank you so much for your time today, Emily, and best of luck with the upcoming Female Athlete Network event. We hope you've enjoyed this Play With Confidence podcast. And don't forget, if you have a request for a specific guest, send us a quick message via Instagram or Facebook, or email us at info@xenasport.co. Till next time, play with confidence and conquer the field with Xena. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Play With Confidence podcast. And don't forget, if you have a request for a specific guest that you would like to hear from, send us a quick message via Instagram, Facebook, or email us at info@xenasport.co. Don't forget to share our podcast with someone who might find it valuable. Till next time, play with confidence and conquer the field with Xena.